My name is Mary Grace, and you're listening to the Homebody Podcast. Here, we explore embodiment as interstellar beings, practicing how to live more fully as creatures of both the stars and the earth. These spiritually and artfully minded conversations intersect astrology, creative practices, intuition, magic, healing, poetry, and a deep love for the natural world. My hope is to enliven you so we can co-create possible regenerative futures, to encourage you so together we can become dynamic agents of beauty, fully awake with our power intact. Let us be intentional as we approach the creation and caretaking of life, and let's make room for inquiry, sensitivity, and joy. Thank you for listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, we're talking about the astrology for the last half of January 22, which includes the upcoming full moon in Cancer. Mercury is stationing retrograde. Venus is stationing direct. The nodes are changing signs. Lots of things moving around, whereas the first half of the month maybe felt like more of the same. We do have Jupiter in Pisces right now, but Jupiter's kind of working against Mars right now, which is taking up a lot of energy. And the second half of the month really brings more of these shifts and changes in direction, more movement. So if you'd like personalized guidance on how these transits affect your chart or how the transits of the year are coming up for you personally, what you can expect, how they're going to activate your life, you can check out the links below to book a one-on-one session. If you'd like more of a setup for today's episode with what's been going on earlier this month, as well as an overall energetic forecast, you can go back and listen to the New Moon in Capricorn episode from 2 weeks ago, which is also linked below. I also want to plug this book that I'm reading called Hormone Intelligence by Dr. Aviva Ram. It is so good. Lauren of Wooden Spoon Herbs mentioned it on the podcast a few months ago, and it's been on my, I listen to Aviva Ram's podcast sometimes, so I was aware of the book. It's been sitting on my shelf, but that really bumped it for me. And then we've just been having a lot of conversations with guests in particular about herbs and questions around medical industrial complex and digestion and all of these things that I feel like actually so many of us are dealing with in some way. And this book is really getting to our perspectives around our bodies and, you know, allying with them in general and really uncovering some of the hormonal imbalances that are at the root of a lot of these things. So it's really targeted primarily towards gynecologic issues, which usually don't get a lot of airtime and also don't get a lot of listening in the doctor's office usually. I can't think of anyone that I know who has ever been to the gynecologist and doesn't have some kind of, you know, bad experience or difficulty that has arisen from that. So I think it's really, I'm not even into like the whole meat of the book yet, and it's already being really affirming and helpful and encouraging and full of information and sort of a restructuring of how we're relating to our hormones and just providing some like clarity, which I think is really helpful. So if that sounds like something that you'd like, I'm not like affiliated with the book or her program or anything like that. I'm just reading it and finding it really helpful. And it's also relating to some of the things we've been talking about on the show. So I have the link for it below. If that's something that you're interested in, I wanted to share that with you all because it's being something really great for me. All right, so we've got some ground to cover. This half of the month is definitely busier than the first half, so we're going to jump right into today's episode. So this month, the beginning of the month, hasn't really like capitulated us forward into the new year. I know we like to like thrust into new goals and new iterations of self and new promises and changes, but many of the visible planets, right, they don't have a lot of oomph behind them right now. Most of them are in this like kind of slow, restrained bounds of Saturn, and Saturn, who is their host, is also about to be like weakened and more invisible under the beams of the sun. So however, this kind of constrained way of being is nothing new based on the past couple years of life. So January 14th, which is a Friday, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this when the episode drops, Mercury is going to station retrograde for the first time in 2022, and it's happening in the sign of Aquarius. Mercury has been moving through this air sign. Mercury is almost caught up to Saturn. maybe it's a big commitment or a responsibility or a boundary or a completion. And then right before they connect, Mercury turns retrograde. So it may be, of course, a going back over that was close to a finish line or close to a projected completion date. Most certainly it is a delay, perhaps, in what the original intent was. And because it is in this Saturn ruled sign, there may be like a heavy thoroughness required for any of these reviews or do-overs or revisions. While Saturn does often require sort of heavy lifting in the direction of rewards or accomplishment, there are rewards available. There is value available. They're just not necessarily easily attained. So it's not like necessarily a punishing for the sake of it. It is a work and a review and a revision for the sake of growth, for the sake of more clarified responsibility, more clarified structures, more mature goals, perhaps. In the outer world, maybe these are like social contracts or technology launches or philanthropic promises, education revisions. For the more personal lens, Mercury's do-over may encompass some of the topics from your Aquarius and Capricorn areas of life. And if you don't know what those are, as always, I have a little cheat sheet for you below in the show notes to help you discover what those topics would be for you. This retrograde station is also happening square Uranus, so the changes in direction or the change in decision making may have a bit of a bump to it or an element of surprise. Perhaps it's coming across in a way that you didn't expect, or that surprise is requiring more communication and perhaps even a reanalysis of expectations. So the shadow period, the territory that Mercury is going back over, is going to retraverse topics, ideas, potentially even decisions around the end of December to current. And Mercury's retrograde is going to take them all the way back across the border into the late degrees of Capricorn. And that jump officially happens back into Capricorn on January 25th, so later in the month. And you can look forward to Mercury stationing direct on February 4th. On Monday, January 17th, we have the full moon in Cancer. The sign of Cancer is one of the segments of the zodiac where the moon loves to be. The moon is bright, powerful, resourced, connected in Cancer. The moon is able to provide and access care, security, nourishment, bonding in this sign, which are some of the things the moon is concerned with. It's able to really honor the body and prioritize the experiences of the body here. And so because of that, it can really manifest because the moon's pathway is manifesting through the body and its connections. So the moon in Cancer supports that peace at home, close relationships, meaningful intimacy, nourishment. So it really makes space for these activities where you can. And find ways to honor the joys, the securities, the bonds that are close to home, and really let them feed you. The Cancer area of life may be experiencing a culmination of some kind, the completion of a cycle, maybe. Those topics may come to the forefront, take up a lot of space, or be really lit up in some way with some sort of peak of an experience or a chapter that you've been in. And is there a way to take time with those topics? So do they deserve an honoring of some kind? Do they deserve some nourishment or a delicious meal with loved ones or a warm bath? Right, this full moon is happening in opposition to Pluto, so there could be forces or dynamics of like control or power or this energy of like unearthing that wants to come to the surface, or maybe things that want to go below the surface. And I'm curious about, with this full moon, like, where can we prioritize care over power? How can you take back any of your buried power via care? So the home, the body, the domestic are places that are deeply personal. And when we inhabit the personal, we can really create a vessel of power and experience that in ourselves. So we can close the door to a conversation. We can honor our true capacities and limitations. Just because someone or something wants to throw shit up in the air doesn't mean we have to engage with it. You don't have to engage with the shit. Just because someone's throwing it around doesn't mean you have to be like, oh, I guess it's a shit fight that I have to take care of now. It's okay to prioritize the limitations, the vessels, and the personal domesticities, the spaces that help you feel good in your own skin, and the capacity you know, to not only tolerate pleasure, but to orient towards it. It is our capacity for transformation as well. It is our capacity for resilience, right? If we only have the capacity to orient towards shit, then we're not plastic enough. We're not creating the resilience in our body to transform or to bend in the storm when there is a storm. So maybe take time to ask yourself, you know, what do I want right now? What do I need? You know, pause the podcast and think like, do I need to adjust this pillow in my chair? Can I change where I'm sitting to be at a better temperature or have a more pleasurable line of sight? Do I need to be, you know, to put on a warmer sweater to make this errand more enjoyable? Can I put on some music while I'm making dinner to add more joy to my food? And to really bring in these really small domestic personal ways to take back more power via that care and that orientation towards pleasure and nourishment. Also, we talked a lot about digestion and food in last week's episode with Alyssa Benjamin, including adding more joy to food as an essential ingredient, which is a very full moon in Cancer topic. So be sure to go back and listen to last week's episode as well. On Tuesday, the following day, January 18th, Uranus will station direct and the nodes change signs. So Uranus is in the sign of Taurus, where they will be for a few more years, and will go direct. So it adds this exclamation point, this tremor or rumble to their ongoing revolutions, their ongoing upsets, shakes and quakes into the Taurus area of life, of the sky, of the world. So this stationing direct is going to bump Mercury, who is retrograde. It's also going to bump Venus, who is retrograde, perhaps provoking a new find or new information or an unexpected development in those reviewing journeys, I guess. Because Uranus is an outer planet, it will most likely be something we see played out in the wider culture or society at large. However, if you have personal placements or angles that are close to 10 degrees of a fixed sign, say close to 10 degrees of Taurus or Aquarius, Leo or Scorpio, then this could show up in a more personal way around those topics. And also on this day, the nodes officially change signs. So since early May of 2020, the nodes have been in Sagittarius and Gemini, which means that that's where we've had the eclipses. So now that the nodes have shifted into Taurus and Scorpio, we will now have eclipses in these signs over the course of the next year and a half-ish. So eclipses tend to create more rapid changes, sudden shifts to the places and topics where they're happening. And this will be especially true of this particular era of eclipses because Taurus and Scorpio are fixed signs. So they're already undergoing a lot of this kind of heavy change dynamic, big changes, sudden shifts, instability. And with the eclipses moving here, there will be additional waves of change moving through those houses, moving through those signs that would probably prefer to be left alone or carry on as they are just by nature of their personality. So the North Node is moving into Taurus, and we can associate the North Node with a sense of amplification, hunger, or this like volume up is something that I say a lot. So if you have personal placements in the sign of Taurus, you can expect those placements to have this emphasis or increase of energy around them. And the South Node is moving into Scorpio, which we can associate with more of a volume down or a lessening, a letting go, a dispersion, or a decreasing of energy. So any personal placements in this sign will encounter more of that kind of energy. And while it's popular to put some sort of like moral imperative on the nodes, there isn't a lot of justification for that within the greater historical context of astrological study and practice. So for instance, people say that the North Node is what we should move towards and what we should do, and that the South Node is what we should let go of or should move away from. And that is not really a philosophy that has a whole lot of justification when we look at the whole body of astrological history and practice. And so it's not something that I use or recommend because in actuality, the hunger, the sort of ravenous energy of the North Node can easily be something that requires moderation and not something that we should just blindly go towards and pursue at all costs, right? That can actually be the harm of the North Node is that there's this desire to pursue it at all costs, and that can be detrimental. So just because there is an energy of increase or decrease, it doesn't mean that there are necessarily moral imperatives around them, or that one is bad or one is good, or one is I should be a yes and the other one is I should be a no. It's more like, how can we approach these energies with awareness, with consciousness, what wants to be dispersed and let go, what wants to be refined and more simplified, perhaps, in that area of life, what wants to be increased, to what degree is that helpful, to what degree is that detrimental, how do those live in a tension that creates a sense of moderation that's productive. So I don't live on the ship that the nodes are like moral imperatives or directives. I'll have a video, like blog post out for this next week. So be sure to subscribe to the newsletter on my website if you'd like to be alerted when that drops. On January 19th, which is Wednesday, the sun enters Aquarius, which is the same sign that Saturn is currently occupying. It's the same sign that Mercury is retrograding in at the moment. And the sun in Aquarius is technically in detriment, or in a sign that doesn't prioritize the sun's needs. Aquarius tends to prioritize the other, the collective, potentially at the expense of the individual or the personal. On that scale or that spectrum of me and we, Aquarius tends strongly towards the we side, while the sun's light and fire is that which sustains me, at least in the natal chart. So the sun in Aquarius may shine more through that which is intellectual, or the ideas of things, the observation or the innovation, the originality or the promise of a future innovation. It radiates towards making things better, or philanthropic efforts that, you know, prioritize originality or greater efficiency, and that are usually generated or that are usually directed towards the collective. So the sun finds itself in this time in a sign where it tends to defer itself and prioritize others over commitments and interests of the self. So this Aquarius area of life has very likely undergone a lot of restructuring over the past year. So as the sun moves through this sign, is there an acceptance that becomes possible? Is there a vitality or a warmth available when we surrender to the responsibilities of right now, or to what is right now? The energy that we spend trying to pretend like something isn't so, can be a really big loss, a really big leak in our presence. So what can we gain back? Doesn't mean we'd like it necessarily, but is there just an acceptance that becomes possible? And what vitality do we regain when we at least start with, this is what's happening? I'm interested in the questions of like, what vitality can we reclaim? What energy can we bring back to ourselves when we also remember the self? When we remember the personal amidst the collective, remember that the personal is part of the whole. True service is really only possible, I think, when we bring the self to it. So note any areas where the sun's journey is asking you to reclaim or to shine more. What lights you up? What is your light? What brings your heart to the table? What are the priorities or the beliefs or the motivations that are really a part of how you show up to the world? And they're not to be denied in the name of service, right? Self-erasure isn't necessary to be of service. It's not even advisable to be of service, but we really want to make sure that we're not just bringing our brains or our minds to what we're doing, but we're also bringing our hearts to what we're doing, and what reclamations, if any, are necessary for that to happen, for that to be more possible. On Monday, January 24th, Mars enters Capricorn, and Capricorn is a cardinal earth sign. Capricorn had a lot of action 2020 and then 2019. And I'm actually really a little excited about this transit. Mars is exalted in Capricorn, meaning that Mars is in a sign that plays to their strengths. So Mars is not only capable, but their weaknesses, impulses, or even their potential shadowy ways of manifesting are more minimized. So we'll have the effort and the strength, we'll have the courage of Mars, but we'll have less of the impulsivity or even the blind combativeness that can happen. We have Mars really capable of sustained efforts and ventures. So perhaps some things that require this energy or the sustained strength will be more possible at this time. And Mars being here also puts them in a helpful relationship to Jupiter. So Jupiter is sort of boosting, amplifying, or making Mars's efforts more constructive overall and more capable of harmonious or beneficial outcomes. So I'm personally kind of looking forward to that transit. And then finally, on Saturday, January 29th, Venus stations direct. And it may be the 28th for you, depending on time zones and where you live, because it's 3:45 in the morning where I live. So it's right on that cuspy day. So it's long awaited. And Venus will now go over for the third and final time the topics, the territories, the frameworks that she's uncovered over the past 40 days and 40 nights in retrograde. And, you know, having emerged from the underworld, how does the topside world look different? What has become more clear during this process? What has been made apparent? What has been unearthed? What's ready to be laid to rest? Have you reevaluated your relationships, perhaps to people, perhaps to values, perhaps to money over the past 6 weeks? Or what decisions or commitments need to be made in order for you to live more in alignment with the values and desires that have been made clear? And Venus on this side of her cycle now has more power, has fewer fucks to give, is less concerned with playing by the rules of politeness. Venus really emerges with more of this warrior prowess and has shed the petty protections, the more superficial garments or displays. It's more of this like Xena warrior princess vibe than the damsel in distress vibe or the like Guinevere, I guess. And Venus is also stationing direct very close to the asteroid Vesta. And so perhaps do we come out of this Venus retrograde more committed to our own sacred fire, more invested to the integrity of our desires as they exist, maybe in devotion to whatever we find holy, right? How can we be more devoted to whatever is the sacred for us? How can we be more devoted or committed to that which really lights the fire of the erotic in our life? And whether that erotic is manifesting in a sexual way or in a general like life force energy way in our creative paths, how can we be more better fire keepers of that in our own life? And in Capricorn is where Venus is stationing direct, and Mars is also in that same sign now. So they have generally kind of oppositional energies. And over the next upcoming weeks, they will be weaving in and around one another in this very, like, feels like a very classic kind of yin and yang arrangement over the upcoming weeks. On February 1st will be the new moon in Aquarius, but we'll talk about that first thing on the February forecast. I'll be sure to drop it before the new moon happens so that you're prepared and you have a heads up. And I wanted to wrap us up with a poem called Praise the Rain by the ever brilliant and beautiful Joy Harjo. Praise the rain, the seagull dive, the curl of plant, the raven talk. Praise the hurt, the house slack, the stand of trees, the dignity. Praise the dark, the moon cradle, the sky fall, the bear sleep. Praise the mist, the warrior name, the earth eclipse, the fired leap. Praise the backwards, upward sky, the baby cry, the spirit food. Praise canoe, the fish rush, the hole for frog, the upside down. Praise the day, the cloud cup, the mind flat, forget it all. Praise crazy, praise sad, praise the path on which we're led. Praise the roads on earth and water, praise the eater and the eaten. Praise beginnings, praise the end, praise the song and praise the singer. Praise the rain, it brings more rain. Praise the rain, it brings more rain. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the show, and share the episode. Check out the links below to learn more about things we talked about and find free resources. If you'd like to continue the conversation, please join us inside of the Homebody Portal, a free online community where you can talk more about the episode, learn with us, and connect with others. Let us be in service to life with courage, creativity, and connection. Thank you for being here. Be well. Peace.